Well, dear brothers and sisters in Big Bear, what a privilege and honor to be with you up here on the mountain, from one mountain to another mountain, all the way from Sweden down to California. I'm happy to see you, and I can see you're happy to see me. We are today celebrate the Reformation Sunday, and that is not to exalt any specific movement or a man, but that is to remember and rejoice in the great doctrines of grace that had forever changed the world, and I can testify has changed and saved my life. And from today's three readings, I will preach in three main points. And I will preach to you about the consolation of the Reformation, the confession of the Reformation, and the celebration of the Reformation. Let us start with point number one, the consolation of the Reformation. We started out this service and singing, "A mighty fortress is our God." And that specific hymn is written by Martin Luther and inspired by Psalm 46 that we heard in the first reading. And we heard, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." Anybody has trouble? He is ever-present help in trouble. Congratulations. Only for the people in trouble, he is ever-present and there to help. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains," come on somebody, "fall into the sea." He says, chill out, be still, and know that I am God. That's good news. That is the consolation, the great comfort of the Reformation. You know, Martin Luther's theology was born out of trouble. Anfechtung, he called it in German. That deep inner turmoil and despair that he had experienced in his conscience, while at the same time fighting persecution by emperors and popes and cardinals, and at the same time navigating a very dark and dangerous time full of plagues and sickness. Martin Luther did a journey, and I hope and I pray that you will do that journey this morning. From a God that he was terrified of to a discovery of a God that he could trust it. His discovery went from fear to faith. From a God as a fearful force of nature looking to eradicate man, to a God that revealed himself in Jesus Christ to be a fortress for man, to hide in and be safe in against all kinds of assaults and attacks. You know, I think that's why Luther's theology is so relevant today and so comforting even for us, because it's real. It is born out of real trouble. Finding your fortress, not in your own strength, not in your own achievement, not in your own glorious intellectual capacity, but finding your fortress in God and God alone. That is comfort, my friend. And God is a God of great comfort and consolation and ever-present help in times of trouble. You know, when Luther penned this hymn that is deeply loved way outside of Lutheran congregations, "A mighty fortress is our God," it was not triumphalism. It was pure trust. God is our refuge. Not our works, not our own merit, not our church structures, but God is our refuge. God is our strength, not our own resolve, but his promises. And God is present, my friend, not distant, not hidden, but present in the midst of your trouble. So listen, in an age of fear, there is comfort in this gospel. We live in an age of fear, full of fear for everything. In your personal turmoil or chaos, in your impossibilities and hopelessness, God has revealed himself in Christ Jesus to be for you and to be with you in the midst of your mess. And you can say, amen. God is a comfort and consolation for you. God is an ever-present help in your trouble. Hear this today, my friend. This you get to believe. Fear not, but believe in God himself as a mighty fortress for you. Number two, the confession of the Reformation. That is the justification by faith. Justification by faith alone. The core and the heartbeat of the Reformation. We read in Romans 3, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. But then we read, but God. God came into the scene and revealed a way to justification that the prophets and the law testify about, but nobody really knew about or could understand. And that was the justification and righteousness given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Righteousness before God is not achieved, but received. Not achieved by man, but received by faith. It's for you, my friend. Luther called this the article by which the church stands or falls. And it is my absolute conviction and experience. It is the article by which you and I stand or fall. You know, every human being, including you, is constantly trying to justify themselves, justify their existence, justify their value, their opinions, their decisions, justify their identity, justify what they have done or what they have left undone. We come up with millions, endless of creative excuses. If you don't believe me, you know, if you have kids, you will believe me. They are masters, creative minds of coming up with excuses or circumstances why this happened or why it not happened. Well, they're not unique. You are like that child, even in your old age. Before God, we come up with excuses or circumstances or in today's society, diagnosis that should justify the way we behave. But the text says, but the law silenced every mouth. In an encounter with God's law, it says that through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The law always magnifies your sin, your lack of righteousness, and you stand there with a shut mouth before God. And you understand that you are not in the right standing with God. But the law silences every mouth, but the gospel opens every heart. But now, God revealed a righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You know, to be justified by God is actually even more than to be forgiven by God. It is not just the cancellation of my guilt, my trespasses, my sin. It's the imputation of a righteousness that I by myself lack, that I cannot produce by myself. It is not about trying to balance my records. Salvation is actually the cancellation of my records. Praise the Lord. The records of all your sins are not trying to be balanced. They are canceled out by the cross of Jesus Christ. The cancellation happened when our sins was nailed to the cross. My sins were imputed to Christ. He endured my damnation when he was nailed to the cross in my place for my sake. And by this, I am forgiven because my sins are canceled. But canceling my sins is not the same as being righteous. You know, justification is a legal act, a divine verdict, not a process. It does not make a person just. It declares a person just. It declares you just before God in his eyes. How amazing is that? It is the declaration, not a transformation. You will still be the same to a whole, you know, a big extent. Your reality will still be you're a sinner. But in Christ, you are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. The moral transformation that we are very occupied with, you know, that follows step by step, slowly. Have you noticed it's very slowly? Your faith in Christ. But that moral transformation is not justification. The Bible calls it sanctification. It's an ongoing and lifelong work of the Holy Spirit conforming you to the image of Christ. But justification, by contrast, is not a process. It's a once for all declaration by God when he says over your life, not guilty, just, righteous, right here, right now, on account of Christ. Anybody happy for that? You know, there's one thing that is more dangerous than shallow doctrine full of emotion, and that's doctrinal orthodoxy, totally in lack of gratitude. You know, we should really be filled of gratitude when we are believers of the doctrine. We should be the most happy people on earth. And I can see in your faces, you are believers. I do not possess a righteousness of my own that I can stand in before God. But my confidence rests in what Paul is writing in Philippians 3. I am not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, this is the good news, that justification is not merely cancellation of your unrighteousness, but also the imputation of Christ's righteousness to you. So who are you and how are you before God? You are like Christ before God because you are in Christ, and Christ's righteousness have been imputed, counted to you, credited to you. Luther called this the glorious exchange. Christ gets what I have and I get what Christ. Wow, that's a very bad exchange for Christ. It's a very good exchange for me. Hallelujah. I give him all the crap that I have, and it's on him on the cross on Calvary. And he gives to me everything that is him, and that is just pure perfection and holiness and righteousness before God. He became me before God, and I am in him. Christ fulfilled all righteousness perfect, and that righteousness is now credited to me through faith alone. You don't need feelings. You don't need signs to prove your justification. Although we're all sick people, we look for signs. You're looking for the righteousness, and the more you look, you see just the opposite. And you think, I cannot be saved. And I believe you. When I see you, I affirm that. When I see you and when I hear you, I say, no, you can't be saved. No, not according to the law, but according to faith and according to the gospel. Because then it's not our achievement. It is a righteousness that we receive, not achieve. Receive by pure grace. We get to believe the scriptures that proclaim and confess to us that our justification is by faith alone. So Romans 4, if we continue read after where we stopped in Romans 3, says, to the one that have no works, have no merit. Are you one of those? Do you come to church this morning with your works? Do you come to present your merits? Or are you in the club of the people that comes with empty hands? Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross of Christ I cling. We come with no merit, we come with no merit. We said, Jesus, the only thing we have to give to you, and I offer it as an offering, it is my sins. And they already belongs to you because you pay them to the highest price by the blood of the Lamb. They belong to you now, not to me. And then God's word says, to the one that have no works and no merit, but believes in him who justifies the ungod, his faith is counted as right. Anyone can give me 4 minutes more? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would be 25 more. Finally, point number 3. We have been speaking about the consolation of the Reformation, the great comfort that God is a mighty fortress. We have been speaking about the confession of the Reformation. We are justified by faith alone. And we're going to speak thirdly about the celebration of the Reformation, the freedom you have. We read in the gospel text that if the Son sets you free, you will be very, 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 very free. You will be free indeed. You will be the freest of the free. You know, that is the celebration of the Reformation, the joy of true freedom. It is for freedom Christ has set you free, so don't become a slave again. You know, slavery is a very real thing today in our society. Maybe you thought it was a long time ago we had slaves in America. Oh, let me give you the bad news. You have more slaves than ever in America. And so do we in Sweden. We are slaves under addictions. We are slaves under opinions. We are slaves to the approval of certain people and certain persons. We are slaves to the fear of being canceled, being rejected, being condemned, and being disapproved. But most of all, the slavery beneath all other versions of slavery is that we are still slaves under the power of sin. You know, this world's version of freedom is autonomy. That means I am free to do whatever I please. That's the view in this world of freedom. Well, Christ's freedom is a redeemed will and a renewed desire of the regenerated heart to actually delight in what pleases God. That takes freedom, because naturally you are not free to delight in what pleases God. The most of the things you delight in, God doesn't delight in. Freedom in Christ means that I am no longer enslaved to prove myself to God, to others, or to my own conscience. I am free because Christ has fulfilled the law for me. I am free from guilt, free from shame, and free from fear. And you know, this freedom is revealed in Scripture. We read in the gospel text today, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, freedom in the biblical sense is not the absence of authority, but the joyful living under the right authority, the authority of God's truth, the Word of God, the Holy Scripture. To sin, my friend, is not simply to break rules. It is to live apart from God's revelation, God's Word, and to live by lies instead of living by truth. Sin is the soul's captivity to an illusion, to the false promises of autonomy. Therefore, listen, when Christ says, if you continue in my word, he reveals that freedom is born in the hearing of the truth. That's why we come to church, to hear the preacher proclaim the word of truth, the word of Christ, and you get to hear it, and freedom comes by that hearing, where Christ declares that freedom from his word over you. You know, freedom is not achieved by moral strivings or emotional experiences or religious effort, but received through the living word of God that breaks the lie, breaks the chains, and brings life. Because the word of God is not merely information. It is a performative power, the very speech act of God that creates what it promises. So we don't just listen to promises. No, God's word says what it does what it says. Listen to that again. God's word says what it does what it says. So right now, I do in the name of Jesus freedom unto you, because we proclaim the word of God, and the word of God received through your ears into your heart creates faith, and that faith clings to that word, and you experience freedom. You are no longer a slave in the name of Jesus. You are free on account of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, as God once said, let there be light, and there was light. That is how God's word functions. So when the scripture says, be free, there is freedom. The word of Christ creates the very reality it proclaimed. Thus, freedom begins not in your will, but in your ear, the hearing of the gospel word of freedom. So, the Holy Scripture is not just simply a record of divine truth. It's an ongoing voice of the living Christ. It speaks to you. Therefore, to continue in the word, as Jesus said, it's not just merely to read the Bible as a book of moral wisdom or trying to distill in the biblical text some kind of tips from your life coach, but it is to abide in the voice of Christ that is on the pages of the Bible that continually sets you free again and again and forgives all your sins according to his promise. Amen. This freedom, my friend, is not a freedom from God. It's a freedom for God. The freedom to stand justified, beloved, and accepted. And you know, the gospel frees us and frees your conscience from having to earn God's favor. And in doing so, it frees us to love and live for your neighbor. When I no longer have to justify myself all the time, I am therefore free to care for and serve my neighbor. One of the reformational rediscoveries was the scripture's clarity. And where the scripture is clear, the conscience is free. Freed from the tyranny of human opinion, religious superstition, and personal despair. That's why we say sola scriptura, word of God alone, scripture alone. Because scripture alone reveals that is in Christ alone, we can experience grace alone and receive that by faith alone to God's glory alone. So on this Reformation Sunday, we celebrate not rebellion, but redemption. Not innovation, but God's gracious reformation of centuries of deformation. The word that set Luther and the church free 500 years ago is the same word that can set you free today. Free from guilt, free from fear, free from despair, and can reveal to you that God is your mighty fortress in the midst of your trouble. So in the language of the Reformation, we proclaim, here we still stand. In the consolation of God, our mighty fortress. In the core truth and confession that we are justified by faith alone. And in the conviction and celebration that we have total freedom in Christ alone. Because, listen my friend, you are forgiven. You are in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can trust God completely, whatever meets you tomorrow. You can trust God completely in and under all your circumstances, in the midst of all your troubles and despairs. Because Christ was crucified for you. He died and rose for you. And he has conquered every kind of enemy, every sin, every devil, every demon, and also death. Therefore, I say unto the Son sets you free, you are free. Amen.